Litvak and the legal department would report to him or Ovitz. I knew it would be difficult, and when it finally had to be addressed, which was over that weekend when Mr. Litvak followed Mr. Bollenbach's lead in saying that he didn't intend to report to Mr. Ovitz, I let that happen. Ovitz knew immediately that he was facing his first major crisis at Disney. Though not sophisticated about matters of corporate management, he knew that to be stripped of legal and financial responsibilities meant he was not really a chief operating officer, and that it left him dangerously bereft of any management authority. But it wasn't really so much the lines of authority or management implications. In the instant that Eisner failed to put down the rebellion, Ovitz saw with perfect clarity that his best friend had betrayed him. Ovitz's mind was reeling. I was wildly confused. I was floored when Michael didn't say to them, "You have to do this," he later testified. But he did his best to maintain his composure and adopt a conciliatory approach. He made some vain efforts to persuade Bollenbach and Litvak to change their minds, trying to reassure them that he'd be supportive if they reported to him. I don't want to walk in and all of a sudden have two guys quit, so I tried to dance around it and make it all work, as he later put it. Eisner simply listened. It was obvious they weren't going to budge without pressure from Eisner, so Ovitz suggested he and Eisner leave the room. They went upstairs for a private talk in the bedroom of one of Eisner's sons. "You did a really good job with that," Eisner told him, but Ovitz was nearly distraught. He asked Eisner for guidance. I was looking for his advice and guidance, and his support and backing, which I thought would be critical in my first moment at the company, Ovitz recalled. He asked, begged Eisner to return to the dining room and back him. I can't do that, Eisner said. Look, that's the way it is. If you don't want to do the deal, just tell me so right now. It was a stunning suggestion that Ovitz quit even before the deal was announced. At the same time, Eisner had to have known it wasn't a real option. Ovitz couldn't afford to have another deal collapse after being humiliated in the MCA Universal negotiations. He'd arranged to sell his interest in CAA. There was no way he could go back now. As he later put it, I had no choice. I could not walk away from the Walt Disney Company. I had given up my business. I had been put in a position that I had made a deal that I had agreed to with Mr. Eisner. I shook his hand. I intended to keep my end of the bargain. I expected him to. I trusted him. I'm a team player. I wasn't going to let this guy down. I was incredibly disappointed. I didn't know what to do. Ovitz said he'd try to make the arrangement work. Let's just ride this right now, Eisner said, and see if you can do a little more work on it. If you can't do it, we will figure out how to do this over the year. It was clear when Ovitz and Eisner returned to the dining room that Ovitz had capitulated, put in the humiliating position of trying to win the approval of Litvak and Bollenbach. I did everything I could as a salesperson to try to sell these guys into an amiable, decent relationship. I didn't want to get Michael in trouble, and I didn't want to upset them. Frankly, I had no idea how to handle this. I was going totally by the seat of my pants. They went over the press release that had been drafted to state that Litvak and Bollenbach would report to Eisner. Ovitz, who will be nominated to the board of directors, will assume his new duties October 1st.